Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
We are just one day away from the biggest game of the year, the Browns and the Bengals in Cincinnati on primetime national TV, the Thursday night game. Coming to you tomorrow night. The team will be traveling to Cincinnati this afternoon, pretty much right after this show ends. And it's obviously a big day today. Matt and I will kind of get into this Cincinnati Bengals team. We're going to hear some sound from the team's media availability yesterday. We'll hear from Joel Bitonio, Brian Hoyer, Dante Whitner, and the head coach of the Browns, Mike Pettine. We'll also have Scott Petrek from the Elyria Chronicle Telegram with us at 1:45. Willie McGinnis from the NFL Network will be with us at 2:30, which is going to be great talking to Willie Mag G. I'll tell you this, though, folks. A lot made out of yesterday's press conference from Ray Farmer, and I'm curious to hear what everybody out there thought about what Ray Farmer had to say. That's one of our Ohio Business Machine's hot topics of the day, and we'll just kick the show off with that. Matt, I think a lot is being – mountains are being made out of molehills here as it relates to Ray Farmer and what he was attempting to do in yesterday's press conference.
I agree, and I think a lot of his comments to me, as I said, he has a plan. He has confidence in his ability and also a very good understanding of the personalities in this locker room. And again, I talked about the swagger, meaning that he, as the general manager of a football team, did not give in to the media, regardless of the question that they're asked, to divulge or over-divulge into too much information that he wasn't comfortable talking about. But also, too, as we heard in his comments, him giving them information that they don't necessarily need or that he doesn't feel comfortable giving them at this point because it's irrelevant in the middle of a football season in which a team that he has put together is 5-3 and in a playoff hunt and in what most people will look at, the most important football game, you know, of this football season against the Cincinnati Bengals this weekend. So I loved his comments. I loved, the way in which he conveyed the message. And I love the fact that he didn't give in to the media that's trying to lure information out of him that is essentially irrelevant at this point in a football season.
No question. And that's basically what he said. He said, I'll be simple and brief. Appreciate everybody's attention, but I'm not sure why everybody's here to see me. It's still football season. So it's time for the head coach and the team to do what they do. But I thought Ray Farmer did a good job. I thought, you know, obviously he was there. He wasn't going to talk about anybody's contract status. The quote that's being made in my mind, you know, that is being blown up is, if he expects Hoyer and Manziel to be on the team next year, and Ray Farmer said, and I quote, contractually, Brian, his contract expires after the season. Johnny's doesn't. We'll see what happens between Brian between now and then. And a lot of people are basically interpreting that as saying that he's done with Hoyer and Johnny's going to be the starter next year. Now, I look at it as as a general manager, you are in the business of constructing the best roster for your football team that you possibly can. You also have to negotiate contracts with players. And so in that forum, he is not going to go out there and praise Brian Hoyer and lose a little bit of leverage. And I thought he was very complimentary about Brian Hoyer, but he's not getting into any type of a contract discussion. He's not saying, hey, let's give him $10 million. Brian, come down here and sign this contract. That's not what this press conference was about in any way. He stuck to the facts. The fact of the matter is Brian Hoyer will be a free agent at the end of the season. Johnny Manziel will be under contract for 4 more years at the end of the season. And that's what he said.
That you're right. And I mean, that's the one thing that's surprising. And again, I know that there are some, you know, well-paid analysts and radio and television hosts that are, again, paid a lot of money to dive in and digest and break down all of these comments by Ray Farmer. But you know what, folks? What it really does to me, which I don't like this side of media, and I don't think you'll ever get that from me, is it's you're bringing attention, you're shining a light or bringing attention towards something negative, or you're trying to lure out information and make something about nothing. You know, when you have a football team that has won more games this season than they did all of last year or the last few years, you know, as a total with 5 wins at this point, and you're through 8 games. So our football team has given you enough to talk about, and that is why I've said time and time again that you and I, Nathan, will focus on the football team, the men in this locker room, the coaches and management in this building. when it pertains to this football season, because everything else, and it can change from one week to week. Say Hoyer does get hurt and Manziel is the starter, you know, moving forward. It all that we could talk about until we're blue in the face. But let's talk about the task at hand, which is Cincinnati Bengals and the men in this locker room that control the outcome on Thursday night's football game and moving forward.
And one of those guys is Brian Hoyer. And people said he didn't praise Brian Hoyer. I thought this was pretty good. What's the most impressive thing Hoyer has done besides winning five games? He said, quote, after winning, be a pro. I've always talked about a guy that studies it, learn it, love it, breathe it. And he's done that. To his credit, he's demonstrated not only to those in the outside world, but those in the inside, his commitment, his drive to be as good as he can be. And I think that's strong praise. That's what a general manager is looking for in a quarterback, in his field general. And I thought that was very good and strong from Ray Farmer. I also like that on the topic of Josh Gordon, he said a lot of this is on Josh. He said it's up to Josh if he can come in. Like every other player, we give him opportunities. The onus falls on the individual. How much do you want to work at it? And I like that he didn't just say, yeah, Josh Gordon's coming back, he's going to be the guy. He said, listen, we believe in him, we've stood by him, but ultimately Josh Gordon's going to be the guy who determines how good he can be.
You're right, and I think that what I loved about his comments even more so about Josh Gordon is that this offense has been constructed and efficient, in some cases highly efficient. There's the passing game has been efficient at times, the run game has been efficient, but they've also been inefficient. And I don't think that just because we're going to get back an impact player like Josh Gordon, that we're all of a sudden going to throw the ball to him. He's going to have 15 targets and 9 receptions for 150 yards, which means that we're going to totally deviate from Andrew Hawkins and Taylor Gabriel and Barnes Dre or Cameron, whoever it might be at the tight end position, and Miles Austin. Are we going to throw the ball to a question mark in Josh Gordon performing because of what he did last year and not throw it to the third down Miles, you know, on third down? No, Josh Gordon, instead of us fitting Josh Gordon in, Josh Gordon will have to fit into what we do, which I love. You know, coming from his mental state, Ray Farmer saying, hey, we're not gonna bend for any one player.
And that's good, and that's important, and I think it resonates. Doesn't that resonate with the players that you say, listen, okay, Josh Gordon, we know you're talented, but ultimately the situation you're in is a situation where you messed up and let us down, and the general manager is still going to hold you accountable for that and hold you accountable for that going forward, in the sense that nothing will be handed to you, and it's Cleveland. As they say, LeBron said it, as they say in the opening at First Energy Stadium that LeBron narrates, you know, nothing is given, everything is earned here, and that Josh Gordon, you were the best receiver in the NFL in 2013, and we hope to see that in the final six games this year, but you're going to have to come in, you're going to have to earn it, and you're going to have to show us why we can trust you and why we can make you such a big part of this team.
Sure, and Taylor Gabriel, Andrew Hawkins, Miles Austin have earned the right to get those reps. They have made the big catches. They have made the impact type of catches or plays in the football season thus far to legitimize why they need to be not want to be on the football field, but need to be on this football field. And as you said, Josh Gordon, I think the shape with which he comes back in and how he hangs in practice and how he can rewrap his head around the game plan and also this offense. And again, running routes is running routes, but I think, you know, Brian Hoyer, as I've said time and time again, has built continuity and rapport with these wide receivers. And you see time and time again, you know, when you're not open, if you see me moving in a pocket, just go deep. Yes, you can teach that to Josh Gordon, but his recognition of that in a game setting, because he doesn't have those reps, may be missing early on. It may come in time, but with only six games left that he's actually participated in, you know, we'll be able to bridge that very quickly, I believe, but it is still a question mark.
It is a question mark, but I think he will be able to bridge it quickly. I know he had very good success last year with Brian Hoyer as his quarterback, coming back from a suspension again last year. It was what Josh Gordon had to do, that two-game suspension, came back in that very first game with Brian Hoyer at quarterback. It was Hoyer's first start against Minnesota, 10 catches for 146 yards and a touchdown in that one. So hopefully he can have that kind of an impact against Atlanta when he returns to the Browns lineup. But I thought Ray Farmer, all in all, is a guy that when you hear him, very intelligent, articulate, has a plan, has a little bit of swagger to him, and is able to deliver messages, I think, without beating you over the head with the messages he's trying to deliver. And it goes back to your point that the way he comports himself, the way he handles himself and delivers messages makes players feel very comfortable to speak with him, to interact with him, and know that they're going to get an honest assessment of where they stand.
They do, and I think the fact that Everyone talked about, you know, Coach Pettine does an amazing job of being direct and being a great communicator both in the locker room, no matter what Greg Little says, and with the media to give you his complete thoughts, you know, within reason to exactly how he feels or what he thinks in a certain situation or about a certain player. And I don't think that a general manager who you only get to touch upon, we get Coach Pettine almost daily or definitely multiple times in a week. So he has to be very transparent about what is going on in the locker room or about the opponent or about a certain injury or player. Whereas Ray Farmer has the ability to step back and oversee all of that's going on. Now, he has dialogue with Pettine, I'm sure, daily or with his scouting staff daily about certain players or those scenarios. But his ability to kind of only give what the media or only give what he wants to give and not let the media or feel like he has there's pressure on him to divulge too much. I love and appreciate that because Ray Farmer, again, because of the person that he is, the fact that he's a former player, that holds a lot of merit with these guys in the locker room. And that's something that, you know, I would have loved to have heard too, but I know probably exists is the relationship between Farmer and some of the players in the locker room, because ultimately he is the reaper. He can make or break he makes and breaks the decisions and careers of the football players on this locker room, but yet he is down there and guys do have that appreciation and relationship with him, which again, in my eyes, from an organizational standpoint, puts you so far ahead. You know, when it comes to nitty gritty time or decision making time, as there's transparency and communication, there are no question marks. You are so far better off than the organizations that want to hide skeletons in a closet.
And listen to this quote, which sums up, in my mind, exactly what you were just talking about. One of the reasons why I like Ray Farmer so much. He was asking about the challenging situation when making decisions about Manziel and Hoyer's future, but really about any player's future on the team. And he said, this is what he said. There's no challenge at all. I think it's pretty simple. I think at the end of the day, we sit down, we make decisions. What's good for our football team? That's really what it comes down to. We don't talk about the personal aspects in some respects, and that seems cruel and not right, but our goals and our charges are to win football games. That's what we try to make our decisions based off of.
Right, and in my eyes, Cleveland, dog pound, Browns fans, would you rather have the players that you want playing, or would you rather win more games than you lose?
And have the best players possible.
Exactly right. So in my eyes, wins trump popularity every day of the week.
That's what it's all about. It's a pass-fail league. The only way to pass is to win football games. We've heard Mike Pettine say that. But I think Ray Farmer's comments yesterday I thought were strong. I thought you got a good sense of how he wants to run the show and run the ship at the head of the personnel department here. And I think you also got a strong sense of, you know, he's not going to give anything away. He says, I'm not kissing and telling. I'm not talking to you about trades that did or did not happen. I'm not talking to you about anything. And I'm certainly not getting into an open negotiation via the media with Brian Hoyer.
No.
That's not what I'm doing, and that makes perfect sense to me.
And there's no need for that because, again, what would all the writers, if he did divulge some type of information, you know, that was juicy in the eyes of fans or in the eyes of the media, what would those writers be reading or writing about, and what would the fans and the dog pound be reading or hearing or diving into and digesting if he divulged some type of juicy information? We would have taken all the attention off of this 5-3 football team and their battle tomorrow night in the Battle of Ohio at Cincinnati. Again, have not won on the road in the division in 17 games. We would have taken all the attention off of that, which is only 36 hours away, and putting the attention on the comments of a general manager that were probably about something that is irrelevant until the end of January.
No question about it. All right. We want to hear your reaction to Ray Farmer's comments as well. So you can let us know, 216-578-0850. Our other Ohio Business Machines hot topics of the day are what concerns you the most about the Bengals. Matt and I will get into that as we start to look at that team. What's the critical matchup in this game that you think will decide Thursday's game? And at the halfway point of the season, who is your MVP of the Cleveland Browns? These are the things we'll be thinking about and talking about in the next two segments. Scott Petrak at 1:45. We'll hear sound from the locker room. Joel Bitonio, Brian Hoyer, Dante Whitner, head coach Mike Pettine. And also, we'll hear from Willie McGinnis from the NFL Network at 2:30. So very excited about that. All that and more coming up here as we still have an hour and 45 minutes to go here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. No, you say you're down with it.